بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable Ulama, respected Huffaz, elders and brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin with the praises of Allah Rabbul Alameen, that Allah is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our leader, our mentor, our teacher, our guide, Nabiya Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, accents are rather strange and fascinating. People speak the same language, they utter the same words, yet it sounds completely different. Different syllables are emphasized and various vowels are intonated and pronounced differently. And in some cases, the foreign accent may sound so strange that it may be even mistaken for a foreign language. The question is, how are accents acquired? How does a person acquire an accent? After all, when babies are born, they cannot speak, though their crying varies in volumes. But their crying has a universal accent. The answer is that accents are acquired through the influence of others. Accents are acquired through the influence of others. It is for this reason that children generally share their parents' accent, as if the parents are from whom they learn how to speak and how to communicate. However, there are many cases where accents are acquired. Among those are young children who emigrate to another country, or even children who are not English speaking, but they learn to speak English via the media or other communication tools. In such cases, their roots are in one land. Their parents' roots are in one land. Their grandparents' roots are in one land, but their accents are borrowed from one another. If you travel around the world, you'll pick this up. If you go to England, Germany, wherever you go, you find that the roots of those people are in another land, but the accent they speak is acquired where they are staying. Now, the curious point in this case of accent is, for most people, acquiring an accent is not a conscious effort. It is not a conscious effort. Rather, through the influence of the environment, the subconscious gradually absorbs the accent. This is a very subtle manner where a person's accent begins to change until eventually his twang is distinct, indistinct from the people from whom he had acquired that accent. He doesn't have to work hard, just subconsciously he picks up the tongue of those people with whom he is associating with, etc. Now, you might think that why have I used this as my introduction? Why have I brought in the accent aspect as my introduction? Is that it proves a very important point. It proves a very important point. The subtle and yet the powerful and undeniable influence of the environment. Just as a person who is exposed to rain must certainly become wet, a person exposed to the environment must certainly be affected by the elements in that environment. In this regard, though we are all affected by the environment, somehow or the other, with the people that we associate with the places that we go to, with the people that we communicate with, to a certain extent, they do influence us. They influence our thought processes, they influence our thinking, etc. We need to be extra cautious and vigilant when it comes to our young children. Friends, when a child attends a school, then he is exposed to all types of children from diverse backgrounds. Every child's behavior, every child's belief and outlook has its own distinct accent. Likewise, the same applies to teachers and educators who are imparting knowledge to this child. If the child is attending a certain school, the people that whom he associates with, from his peers, from his classroom mates, from his educators, from his teachers, they most definitely have a subtle influence over his outlook. And remaining in this environment, day after day, for years and years on, we can imagine the profound effect that associating with these elements will have on shaping and molding his outlook, understanding his attitudes, his values, and calibrating his moral compass and adjusting his gauge of integrity and justice. Hence, the sorrowful result of continuous exposure to some elements, to such negative elements, in some cases, Muslim youth have even renegated from Islam. They have even left the fold of Islam because of their environment. They have turned apostate, either due to embracing atheism or another religion, for that example. Likewise, because of the environment, they lose their Muslim identity and their basic Islamic values. Their basic Islamic values, such as respect for your teachers, respect for your parents, your commitment to your salah, your love for deen, all this is gone. Rather, in place of these Islamic values, they absorb the non-Islamic identity of shamelessness and nudity, love for music, love for pop culture. Respected elders and friends, you know, I don't know if I should mention this, but I think I should. Last year sometime in December, I had an urge to speak about this Chris Brown concert. Many of you are aware that he came to this country. Despite the fact that there was a group that was advocating for him not to come due to some abuse that had taken place. I'm sure many of you follow the media, and that was the case with regard to Chris Brown. Now I'm going to tell you something about the environment and the influence of the environment. There was a security company that was assigned to look after the security of FNB on that night. And one of the brothers that attended that security company, he's a Muslim, he's a good friend of mine. He told me an amazing thing. He said, Maulana, 40% of the youth that attended Chris Brown's concert were Muslims. How many? 40% of the young girls and boys that attended Chris Brown's concert were Muslims. And there was a paramedic on duty that night, also a Muslim boy, youngster, still studying. He says, Maulana, they have a recovery room at FNB. Amazing. They have a recovery room. And in that recovery room, I was present in that recovery room that night. You should have seen the condition of our young Muslim boys and girls in that recovery room. They were so intoxicated. They were so intoxicated. You will not believe me when I tell you, Maulana, some of them didn't even know if they had clothes on or didn't have clothes on. And the only reason I did not touch on music and pop culture and Chris Brown and his history of abuse was that I thought to myself and I said, you know, I don't think so it would be possible for our parents to send our children to such an environment. Besides, not what's happening in the world, even if it's not happening, it's still haram. But look at what's happening in Palestine. Look at what's happening in Syria. Yesterday there was a mother in Palestine. Her child was crying. And the child is telling, "Mommy, I'm feeling cold. I'm freezing." You know, it's winter at the moment there. So the mommy said, "Oh, my child, make sabr." Imagine a mother's heart. Can you imagine a mother's heart? Just place yourself in that situation. I'm talking of shamelessness and nudity that is taking place at our doorstep. And that is a mother who doesn't have a blanket to cover her child. And our mothers and sisters are roaming the streets without clothes. And without scarves and parda. Do you know what she tells her child? She says, "Oh, my child, don't worry. A rocket will come attack our tent, and inshallah, tomorrow will be warm in Jannah." Tomorrow we will be warm in Jannah. Friends, where are we going to? On the one side, we cry Palestine, and we say Palestine. Lower the comforts and lower the luxuries of your life. The Ummah is in pain. The Ummah is in pain. Lower your luxuries and your comforts for the sake of the Ummah. At least if you stand before Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, you can tell Allah, "I couldn't do much, Allah. But at least I lowered my standards. I tried to practice deen. I tried to bring deen alive in my own way for the sake of my suffering of my brothers and sisters." So you see what happens when a child is exposed to this environment. He spends his night in the recovery room in FNB Stadium, listening to the music of an apaki. He doesn't even know the child, the girl or boy, whether his clothes are on or he's off. So what happens with the environment? That child starts feeling sympathetic towards those who adapt, towards those who adopt the LGBTQ belief systems as being a matter of their choice. A child will say, "But Maulana, you know, it's his choice. What must I do about it? I can't force him." Therefore, if children are exposed to such environments, there must be an accompanying effort to counteract the negative influence that is happening on deen and our iman and the iman of our children. And this effort is found in the afternoon maktab madrasa. This effort is found in the afternoon maktab madrasa, which the child must attend religiously and punctually, together with ta'aleem at home. That must take place on a daily basis, where the incidents of Sahaba radiallahu anhu and other pious predecessors are mentioned and discussed. So that the deen of the child, the iman of the child is kept alive. My respected elders and friends, 16,800. How much? You'll remember this figure. Sheikh Al Kabir. 16,800 is the approximate number of hours that a child will spend in school over the course of 12 years, from grade R to matric. How many? 16,800 hours. 3,000 is the approximate number of hours that your child will spend in madrasa, that's assuming if he attends the maktab for 6 years, 5 days a week. That's only assuming, otherwise he's got a very heavy itinerary. And his mother also has got a very heavy itinerary. She can't bring him every day because she's very busy in a country. She's got to take him to cricket, she's got to take him for soccer, she's got to take him for piano lessons, she's got to take him for guitar lessons. She's got a very heavy itinerary. So assuming that child only attends madrasa for 6 hours, for 5 days a week, only for 6 years, he will be attending madrasa only for 3 hours. And for school, how long he'll be attending? 16,800. I don't have to draw the comparison. You can work out the sums in your mind. Ask any practicing Muslim today as to how he or she learned how to make wudu and perform salah and recite Quran, or where did they learn the basic Islamic beliefs, the answer will certainly be, ask my elders. They'll tell you, Maulana, it was in the madrasa. That's where I learned it. The maktab, the madrasa, 20, 25 years, 30 years ago, is not what it was that we have today. Many of the teachers, many of the educators are overburdened and under-resourced. Most maktabs did not fall under an umbrella like we have today, alhamdulillah. But yet our elders persevered. They did everything possible to protect our iman. Even if it meant that they had to export a teacher from India or somewhere to come and teach our children, they did that. How can we thank them enough? We can't thank them enough. My respected elders and friends, as a result, at least me and you know the basic teachings of our Islam today. Alhamdulillah. The urgent need for us as we prepare our children for the new academic year, let us give a thought to the Islamic knowledge also. Let us give a thought, inshallah, to the Islamic upbringing and to the curriculum, which madrasa. Alhamdulillah, we have so many madrasas Allah has blessed us with. Alhamdulillah, we can't thank enough Allah for that. We cannot thank enough to our Creator Allah Rabbul Alameen for blessing us in this country. We have a fully fledged madrasa here by our masjid, alhamdulillah. We have a fully fledged hifz class in our masjid that is running. Morning, evening, afternoon, full-time, half-time, whatever basis you can send your child, my respected elders and friends. Wallahi, I can tell you, Wallahu al-Azim, you can write this with your blood. The day that you leave this world, you will appreciate the fact that your child will come to your qabr and read Surah Yasin for you. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, one day he passed the grave. He passed the qabr. And the inmate of that qabr was being punished. After many years, it so happened he passed that same route again. He passed that same direction again. And he found that same inmate was enjoying the bounties of Jannah. He was enjoying the bounties in Jannah in his qabr. And his qabr, all of a sudden, from being a pit of hell, became a garden from the gardens of Jannah. So he asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, why this sudden change? Just a while ago, a few years ago, I passed this way and this brother was being punished for the sins that he had committed. And here I am passing the same route again and I find that this person is enjoying the bounties of Jannah. Allah says, when this person passed away, he left behind a young child. He left behind a young child. That child grew up. And the mother was concerned about the Islamic knowledge of that child and the tarbiyah of that child. And she sent him to madrasa. She took him personally to madrasa. And when he entered madrasa, the first thing that he read was, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is the first thing that he read when he entered the class. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala told Isa alayhi salam, oh Isa, when the child had confessed that I am Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, how is it possible for me then to punish his father? How is it possible for for me to punish the child of that father who confesses and who proclaims that I am Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. When you leave this world, my respected elders and friends, don't be concerned about what you're leaving for your children. Be concerned, what are you leaving in your children? Wallah, three things do not leave a person until he passes away. One is death, and the other is his sustenance. Don't worry about the sustenance of your child. Allah will take care, just as Allah took care of mine and your sustenance, Allah will take care of your child's sustenance as well. But in this qabr, in his grave, Allah is going to question him three things. Man Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, Man Nabiyuk. Allah is going to ask him, who is your Lord, who is your Rabb, who is your Deen, and who is your Nabi? Do me and you have the guarantee that I included myself and my children will be able to answer to? There was a story of an elderly father who had two sons, and I'll conclude on this. He was 75 years of age. It happened recently. He retired. He called both of his sons. He called both of his sons. And the one son, he said, children, dad is 75 years of age. I need to retire. Who is going to look after me? The one said, oh dad, sorry, I'm not in the position to look after you. Straight. I am not in the position to look after you. The other said, daddy, don't worry. No matter what to you. A synopsis was done. It was found that the one who was obedient was always in the masjid, in the company of the ulama, and attended madrasa regularly. Allah protect us. Allah protect our progenies from the ill effects of the environment. And may He safeguard our hearts from all evil influences. And may He protect as our children start the academic new year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. May Allah look after them from the influences. Really, my respected elders and friends, the Ummah is going through a very difficult time. And those children today are children. Tomorrow they will have to carry the flag of Islam. Tomorrow they are going to carry the flag of Islam. They are going to be the Mujahideen and the Salahuddin of this Ummah. Are we ready to put them in the front lines for the battlefields to protect the legacy of this Ummah? That is a question I have to ask myself, and each one have to ask ourselves. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. الحمد لله الأكرم الذي خلق الإنسان وكرم وعلمه من البيان ما لم يعلم فسبحان الذي لا يحصى امتنانه باللسان ولا بالقلم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أوتي جوامع الكلم وكرائم الحكم ومكارم الشيم صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم الطريق الأمم أما بعد فإن علم الشرائع والأحكام هو أعظم فرائض الإسلام ومن ثم أمر به وحض عليه تعليما وتعلما فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له طريقا إلى الجنة وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من يرد الله به خير يفقه في الدين وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من سئل عن علم علمه ثم كتمه ألجم يوم القيامة بلجام من النار
وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من تعلم علما مما يبتغى به وجه الله لا يتعلمه إلا ليصيب به عرضا من الدنيا لم يجد عرف الجنة يوم القيامة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام تعلموا الفرائض والقرآن وعلموا الناس فإني مكتوب. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل الدين. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم انصر المظلومين والمستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي سوريا وفي كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة. Let us ensure ourselves so straight, shoulder to shoulder, with our heels in line. Whilst we're doing that, inshallah, we make a humble appeal once again to donate generously. Alhamdulillah, the masjid and the madrasa are in the process of making certain changes, alhamdulillah, making it comfortable for our musallis as well as for our madrasa, alhamdulillah, that is increasing. The numbers are also increasing, alhamdulillah. So there are certain construction work that is taking place. We make a humble appeal. Those of us who don't have children, this is an ideal opportunity. Every child, inshallah, that will be learning in that madrasa from Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, right up to his Quran reading, inshallah, this will all assist us in this dunya as well as in our qabr, inshallah. We will want to know where all this reward is coming from. Allah Ta'ala will say, you remember that 100, 200 rand that you gave towards the house of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and children were learning Quran, and they were learning the different aspects of deen. This is your part of the reward, inshallah. So we have this opportunity to invest for our akhirah, inshallah. We have the card facilities, the credit, the debit card facilities. Let us use these facilities and invest wisely in our dunya and our akhirah. And those huffaz, inshallah, who intend to perform the full duration of the Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, we plus minus 50 days away from the month of Ramadan. Allah grant us barakah in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and make it possible for us to reach the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Those of us who intend to perform Taraweeh, inshallah, are kindly requested to forward their names to the respective imams, inshallah. Jazakumullah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah, hayya 'ala s-salah, hayya 'ala al-falah. حي على الفلاح
لا حول
قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة
أقام
الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله.
لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى إن إلى ربك الرجعى الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر استغفر الله اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على محمد النبي أمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموت المسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.